On this episode of Still Loading.
No thanks, I'll have a BLT. That, lettuce and tomato, my favorite.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today we are back with more Captain N. That's right, baby. Episode 11 is here, and this episode is called In Search of the King. And of course, I can't do this alone. I got my partner in crime Captain N Crime. Dexter is here. Dexter, how are you doing?
Hey, we're back, and this title is very grandiose. In search of the king.
I know it sounds like something straight out of Lord of the Rings. Yes, and if Tolkien this was Lord helped. Of the Rings, sorry, that was really loud. I'm imagining if Tolkien wrote this episode, holy shit, he never would have made it. Oh my goodness. So, In Search of the King, episode 11, once again, written by our good friend that's never been on the show. Please come on the show. We love you, Jeffrey Scott.
We love you, Jeffrey.
Please come on the show. This involves basically the premise of this episode is about the end team goes to a place called Mirror World. And we're going to dive into all the details of that in a moment. But Dexter, as per usual, let's start this off with what's the first thing that jumped out to you in this episode?
The first thing that jumped out to me was like, oh, hey, we're actually picking up the thread that we dropped at the very beginning of this series that the whole reason they had to call Kevin was the king went missing and they were losing their war against Mother Brain. And
that actually happened in the first episode. I don't remember that happening at all.
That was the premise, is that the king had been kidnapped or had gone missing. And that was why Mother Brain's army started overtaking theirs, is because their leader was gone, so to speak. I don't think they actually showed it, but that was the spoken premise of it, is that the king was gone.
When was it spoken, though? I don't remember this at all from the first episode. Was it in the intro? I don't remember this.
Because I think it was narrated. I think it was in the narration.
Really? All right, I'm going to have to rewatch that first episode because, legit, my first thing that stuck out was Princess Lana has a dad.
really glossed over, and clearly they don't talk about it really ever in any of the other episodes.
They never bring it up. We've been doing this series now for a couple months. Granted, we're only doing one episode a month, but we're 11 episodes in now, and I didn't remember this. I had no idea that Princess Lana's dad was missing. I just assumed it's one of those things that, you know, it's like, fuck it, it's a kid's show, who cares? You know, like, doesn't matter that you don't know where everyone's at. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right. And you know, it's a serious episode when they do involve the king. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I'm gonna drop one of these like obscure things like The Mentalist. Does anyone remember that show?
And it was, I never watched The Mentalist, but I know Psych was based off The Mentalist, and then Psych became more popular from what I heard than The Mentalist. Love Psych.
When I used to watch The Mentalist, something they would do is like the whole crux of that was he was hunting one particular serial killer, and like 90% of the season would be random hijinks like this. And then there would be like certain episodes where it's like actually involving that serial killer that's spun the whole show off to begin with. It's kind of like that with the king. Like, oh yeah, I forgot. There was this storyline with the king.
Was The Mentalist supposed to be like humorous, or was it more serious?
It was serious, but there were humorous elements. And I think it was flip-flopped for Psych, where that was a mostly humorous show with some serious sprinkled in.
I love Psych. Courtney and I, before our kid was born, we binged watch all of Psych again. Just went straight through it, and it was, then I remember we finished it and we're like, we don't want to watch anything else, we just started it over again. We never made it out of season one for our third rewatch of it, but I love Psych so much, but no, you're right. But it's weird though, is that Psych does something similar, but it's more forgivable because it's more of a comedy show.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they have basically the first episode of a season usually starts off with something semi-serious. Then you kind of forget about it till the last like three or four episodes of the season. Yeah. And then there's usually a mid-season like event that will, you know, like, oh, remember this? Oh, they're still here. Just, you know, just in case you forgot type of thing. So, yeah. But the premise of this one, let's start from the very beginning. let's start from the very beginning with this. I am no Julie Andrews, that's for damn sure. But the episode begins with Princess Lana looking in the mirror, or sorry, looking at a picture of her father, just pining after him, like wishing he was still here. And it's that's so where awkward. I was like, it is a little weird. I mean, I should say pining after. That makes it sound like there was a romantic thing. It very much seemed like a daughter missing her dad. Like, it was nothing.
I just laughed because the photo of her father is ridiculous. He's just got, like, this derpy look on his face.
It could have been, like, the evil version of him, which, it's a little bit of a teaser for what's ahead.
Foreshadowing, yeah.
Foreshadowing, right? And it's such a weird thing because I had no idea she even had a dad or that he was missing. It was just one of those things where it's a kid's show. I don't really think, like, if their parents aren't in it, you don't really think about it. Like, Kevin's parents still wonder, like, he's been gone for weeks now.
Right. And they they even bring up, oh, we haven't talked about how he shows up here yet, have we? We're just kind of talking about, because he reveals himself in her mirror, right?
Yes, he reveals herself in her mirror, and you find out the person in the mirror is not actually her father, which we'll get into. But yeah, so he talks to her in a mirror and says, I'm in a place called Mirror World that Mother Brain put me in. It's at the end of a rainbow, end of the rainbow, not a rainbow. There's only one rainbow in the entirety of Videoland, and it's at the end of
Excalibur.
It's an Excalibur, which is a reference to in Captain N World, Wizards and Warriors, which is dumb, but whatever.
I do appreciate that Sir Geoffrey Scott. I'm going to go ahead and call him Sir, but please come on the show.
Please come on the show, Geoffrey.
But he at least was smart enough to have Lana say something like, "Why haven't you contacted me sooner?" If this
is
true,
that's in any other cartoon, it would be like, "Okay, Dad," but no, she's like, "Where have you been? Why haven't you tried? If you can contact me now, why haven't you done it sooner?"
And it's also the voice of the audience at that moment, like, "Why now?" And he's like, "I had to wait for the perfect moment," and which is very thin, but hey, at least
it's a kid's show. It's
they gave an excuse.
The thing is, at least so in a kid's show, I'm more forgiving of that as a bad excuse than just not explaining it at all.
Yeah, my favorite part though is when he's finished talking to her, and he's like, "Go to the end of the rainbow, and you will find me." And then fades away. Like, why did you say it like that, Dad? That's weird.
Imagine the person on his side be like, "Why did you speak like that?" You just kind of backed away from the mirror.
Yeah, why did you act like you were falling down a hole, you weirdo?
So then she goes and she wakes up the rest of the end team, and she wakes up Kevin. And there, I always keep forgetting to include that in there, but I remember this time. Then whenever I forget, I have to wait. I have to go back and post to be like, all right, where's the time that I said Kevin? Then I add in the Home Alone sound effect. I probably forgot it on a few of these episodes. But anyway, so she wakes up Kevin. She wakes up Simon. She wakes up. I think those are the two main people she wakes up. I think everyone else just kind of gets like, what's the commotion or something like that.
Right.
And Simon is in a face mask, like one of those like beauty mask type of things that you put to like help your skin exfoliate. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. And he's wearing heart pajamas.
Yes. It's like an upgrade of heart boxers, I guess.
I didn't even think about that. That could have been a reference to Castlevania.
Yeah, or Ghosts and Goblins there.
Yeah, but he's from Castlevania.
I know, but oh yeah, I guess the hearts are what he uses for
ammo.
Up B ammo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have a note here, and I really wish I remember what I wrote it in reference to, because a little behind the scenes thing, we tried recording this a couple months ago, and we couldn't. We got 10 minutes in, and then something came up, and then So now I rewatched it, but I rewatched the episode with my kids. So I was only able to half pay attention for this like fourth rewatch of this episode. And I don't remember why I wrote Kid Icarus is the OG emo.
He's got the, I actually wrote it down too. So, internet high five.
There we go.
they covered his face with his hair swoop.
That's what it was. That's probably
it was like excessive, that because they always have like one eye covered, like old school Justin Bieber style. But this was like excessive. Like they almost covered his entire face. And I was like, did they not want to animate his mouth? Or like, was the animator just tired of drawing Kid Icarus? And was like, I'm just covering his face with his hair.
I would not blame him, because Kid Icarus is an awful character. Though, actually, some other behind the scenes, you're working on a Captain N drawing for a little project we have coming up.
Yes.
It was Kid Icarus fun to draw. Did you get a chance to draw him yet?
I have not drawn him yet, but I cannot wait. Mega Man and Simon, though, amazing to draw. I love them. And now I completely have a whole new respect for the animators of this show, because I could see why Simon plays such a big role in the show, because he's a blast to draw. He's hilarious.
Now, this is kind of not related to the episode. What makes something fun to draw? As someone who's not artistically inclined with drawing or anything of that nature, what makes something for you? I know it's probably different for every artist, but what makes something for you fun to draw?
I think for me personally, it's the finding a way to represent something in as few lines as possible. Like finding a way to like, hey, that looks like something. And I just moved my hand like a couple different ways and now it looks like something.
Okay.
And especially when you're mimicking someone else's style, like trying to figure out like, okay, how'd they do that? And looking at Simon's character design and trying to redo that in, you know, a creative pose is like, it was just really fun. Like, oh, okay, wow, that's really simple, but it, you get Simon's giant chin or like his derpy mouth or like, when he's smiling with his big teeth and things like that, like, and like the shapes of him, how they, he's got that big barrel chest and like, I don't know. It was just like, I have a whole new appreciation for the character design. I've always liked the character design, even though it's not representative of the game.
Yeah.
But when I was drawing it, I was like, okay, this is really fun to draw, 'cause it's not a lot of lines, but I can still get it to look like him.
I remember, I have to find the comment again, but my buddy Gabe Swore was commenting when, after we used the, I think the Dracula for one of our thumbnails, he was saying, he said specifically who the artist was for it. He recognized the style. I'm going to have to double check on that. We really need to get Gabe on one of these. I feel like he'd really get a kick out of this. Especially because he's lately on his social media, he's been posting a lot of cartoons from the 80s and 90s about stuff that he really enjoyed. So it'd be really fun to see if we could. I'll reach out to him. I'll reach out to him soon and see if he'd be willing to hop on again to do Captain N.
I know the season 2 premiere really well. I had it on VHS, and I feel like that's one that he would like to do too.
Okay.
I don't want to give it away here, but the premise of it, I think he'd get a kick out of too.
Okay, then maybe we'll look into that. I mean, that's going to be a bit of a ways away, because this is coming out at the time we're recording this. This is actually February, but this is coming out in April, which also means that the season 1 finale will happen in June. So it might be mid-summer to late fall. So we'll see. We'll see what we get with this. But okay, so let's jump back into this. Now that some of the housekeeping, some behind the scenes for the listeners, they heard a little bit of stuff there. They reference it at one point, and I don't remember when, where they mentioned they thought they found the king before. And I'm like, why didn't they show that?
Yeah. Kevin has the Lana role in this episode where he's like, are you sure? Last time it was a trick.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, well, why didn't you tell that story? Like, I feel like that would be a really interesting story to tell and keep that thread, like that through line going throughout the season.
I also wonder, because I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't remember what they're referencing, unless that was from the first episode, and I just don't remember.
I don't know. I really don't remember. But so they end up going to the Rainbow. They're going to Excalibur, the world of Excalibur, which is just wizards and warriors once again. Funny enough, actually, in speaking of that game, I was listening to some old Retronauts episodes, and they were talking about Wizards and Warriors. They did a little mini episode, like a little scripted 10-minute episode on Wizards and Warriors. And I did not know this. It was developed by Rare.
Yeah, that's one of
as in Donkey Kong ones. Country, Banjo-Kazooie, Rare. So that's kind of, I don't know, I found that super interesting. But anyway, so they're looking for the end of the rainbow, the rainbow in Excalibur. And Simon comes across a man in a hooded cloak, a hooded cloak, yeah. I guess you could have a cloak and a hooded cloak, right? Because a cloak would just be a cape. Or does a cloak always have a hood?
That is a great question.
I feel like a cloak without a hood is just a cape.
I think you're probably right.
Why are we having this discussion? Sorry. Okay, he's wearing a cloak.
Now we need to have a cosplayer come on as a guest.
I know, right? And they have to be in cosplay as Simon the whole time.
Yes. And you'll just have to take our word for it, since this isn't, you know.
Oh, we'll take photos. We'll take photos and post it if that happens. Any cosplayers out there want to cosplay as any, doesn't have to be Simon, any Captain N character, and you want to come on the podcast to do an episode of this, reach out, stillowningcontact@gmail.com. I will put you on the show. We'll take photos, not in person because of COVID, but, you know, we'll post them. Or hell, even if you don't want to come on the show, you just do Captain N cosplay, I'll share it on my socials.
Yeah.
So Simon meets this man in a cloak, can't see his face. Turns out it is the king. And so the audience and myself, when I first watched, was like, what the fuck? Like, Simon, are you stupid? It's the king. Like, can't you see that? Yeah. And he's acting weird. And I'm like, well, what's going on with this? And Simon's so dumb, he doesn't realize it's the king. And
how did the king know that Simon wouldn't recognize him? There were so many things going through my brain when I first watched this, and even rewatching it, it still doesn't make sense. Like, I was confused first that the king didn't recognize Simon, and was just like, "Here, let me help you, young man." And then I was confused also because I was like, "Why doesn't Simon?" And of course, they make a whole joke out of it that Simon doesn't recognize the king. But then having seen the episode now, I'm like, wait, why? How did that come up in the plan that, like, I'll fool Simon, he won't recognize me?
I didn't think of it as that way. I just thought of it like he'll, like, fool the first person he sees, and it just happened to be Simon. Mm-hmm. Or he could have specifically picked Simon because he knows Simon's an idiot.
This is true.
I mean, he knows he knows the other side of Simon, apparently, right, as you know. So they go to the entrance to Mirror World, which is this giant mirror at the end of a rainbow. Simon is the first one to find it. And when he says that he was, I think he takes credit for it. I don't think he gives credit to the doppelganger, the king doppelganger. Spoiler alert, the king that Simon spoke to wasn't the real king. Who could have thought? I feel like is there anything that you thought about from this scene, though, like things that I glossed over? Because I was ready to jump into Mirror World. And like I said, it's some of the parts of this episode are a little bit fuzzy to me.
Yes. So the first thing I thought of, because I'm an animation nerd, is Infinity Train, for anybody out there that's seen that show.
I have not. I don't know what.
It's a Cartoon Network show. It's on HBO Max now. Kind of has like a cult following. But in it, the people that are on the train are trying to get off of the train. And it's an infinite train. So each car has a completely different, like, wild concept. And you just have to go from car to car through the train. And one of them is a mirror car. And it's similar to this, where the people inside the mirror are having to act out what we do in the real world. And the main character's reflection wants to also get out, and they swap, kind of thing. But this takes like a bizarro world logic to it, as far as like,
once again, man, Captain N predicting the future.
Yeah, and, Captain, you know, N. Captain N. Infinity Train.
There you go.
Fact.
It's a fact. We're speaking it into existence.
But yeah, they spend a long time. I was a little frustrated the first time I saw this, at how much they were really trying to hammer home, like, in the mirror world, it's the opposite. Like, they kept doing things, and I was like, I get it.
they showed it so many times. Yeah. I think there's only one joke I really liked, because when they first get to Mirror World, you see all their doppelgangers, because one of the parts of the logic of this episode of Videoland of / Mirror World is that you have the opposite version of you in Mirror World. So since the king was in Mirror World, the good king, the evil king, was outside in Videoland in the normal world, which is who led them to the mirror, because it took him months to devise this plan of just simply just telling them to go to Mirror World. I really feel like it doesn't explain why he wants the other doppelgangers outside of Mirror World with him, but whatever. So when Princess Lana, Kevin, and they leave Kid Icarus and Mega Man behind, they're there to guard the Palace of Power, while Simon, Lana, and Kevin go to Mirror World. So when they step through, their doppelgangers come out, and I feel like this kind of goes into what you were saying, how like you like to see what you can do with minimal amounts of changes to the lines. And I really feel like the animators did a really good job of making them. It's almost uncanny valley for the characters. Like, you're so used to what these characters look like, and when you see their evil doppelgangers, it just makes you uncomfortable. It doesn't scare you because it's like a dumb cartoon, but it makes you uncomfortable. Like, you just don't like looking at them.
Yes, they change things just enough. Like, Kevin's teeth are just like a little more pronounced. And like, they add a few more lines under like Lana's eyes and things like that, just enough to make them seem off.
I like how in anime, in cartoon worlds, no, it doesn't matter which cartoon, the evil version is just a more tired looking version of the main person of the actual character.
Yes,
it's true. Always what it is. There's a couple extra bags under the evil version's eyes. So they go into Mirror World, and they're looking for the king, and you know, they've come across this cute little bunny, and then the bunny like turns angry and evil, and you know, basically something straight out of Monty Python, and that's what it reminded me of. And yes, straight out of Monty Python. When did the Holy Grail come out? I'm curious now. Do you know what year of Monty Python? Because maybe 1975. Never mind.
It might have been a 70s
thing. I was gonna say, like, I knew it was like fairly old, but I wasn't sure if it was like how old it actually was. Yeah, so Monty Python and the Holy Grail came out in 75. So I was hoping that maybe it came out in like 1990, and this just happened to be like the year beforehand. It's like Captain N again. No.
Yeah.
But then a big scary wolf comes in and just licks Simon's face. And that's when Kevin's like, oh, it's opposite everything.
Right. I had made a note. I'm not sure what's scarier, the rabbit or Lana's face reaction to the rabbit.
Oh, yeah, because it's just this. They don't animate it. They draw a single still and they just hold on to it for like a couple seconds.
And they kind of like pan, because I think it's supposed to be before a commercial break. Kind of thing.
It's one of those things where, so when I was younger, I used to make little I used to make little action shorts, right? For fun on my own, like little, like, you know, kids playing with airsoft guns, and then I put in muzzle flares and shit like that. And I remember there was a scene, and it happened to be in high school too, where we were trying to do this like shot of like, you just want to have like that one where the character stares the camera down the barrel, you know, right into the lens, and you're trying to make that serious, intense looking expression, and it's something along those lines. And what you do is, you know, I forget why we did, but we just did a still frame of it to save time, because otherwise we didn't know how long to film it for, and I forget what exactly our reasoning was. But it was the most awkward looking thing ever, because you just have a still frame, and doesn't matter how much the person tries to stay still, since it's physically impossible for a human being to stand completely motionless. When you do a still frame of it, it just looks like the uncanny valley, because you go from all this motion and all of a sudden just someone staring down the barrel of the camera, just And it just, it makes it super uncomfortable. And that kind of reminded me of what they did here in Captain N, where it's all this crazy animation of this evil rabbit. And then it cuts to Princess Lana and she's just like a deer in headlights. And it's the most one of the most uncomfortable facial expressions I've ever seen.
Yeah, they do the whole effect where it's like the camera's coming closer, but they're also zooming out at the same time.
So then they come to a fork in the road, and Princess Lana's like, well, let's go. My dad should be in the castle. And Kevin's like, but it's opposite here. He's probably over in that dirty village. And I'm thinking, why would it fucking matter? Because he has sentience. He can decide where the fuck he wants to go. The king took the real king's place in Videoland when they on the other side. Why didn't he take the evil king's place?
It's a great
He's
question.
Like, I deserve to be in a dirt village. that's a little, I'm so sad. I'm just going to go to the dirt village. And then they go to, you know, they go to this village, and this is where one of the jokes that I actually thought worked was because a villager was hanging up their laundry and there's just dirt everywhere. And she's like, wow, your laundry's so dirty. And the lady's like, oh, well, thank you. And oh, you missed a clean spot. And then the dirties up his like jacket. And he stares at the camera, but they animated that. They didn't do a still frame. He looks at it. He's like, what's wrong with this? Like, that's weird.
Yeah, classic opposite. But this is like at the point, it was all these like rapid fire opposites that were happening. And I was like, all right, I get it.
opposite
land. Yeah.
It's like when a kid plays opposite day and it gets so fucking obnoxious. It's like, well, it's opposite day, so we're just going to do everything opposite. It's like, no, just stop it. I can't wait till my kid gets like that. It's going to be great.
Yes. And then you break their brain by saying, well, if you're saying it's opposite day, then that means it's not opposite day.
it's a paradox, logical paradox. If you can say it's opposite day, is it really opposite day? So they meet the king at this village, and Princess Lana's reunited with her father for the first time in 10 weeks or something like that. I think they give a specific amount of time. He said weeks, I thought.
Yes.
Which would actually kind of make sense, because if this is the 11th episode and it aired weekly, it would be about 11 weeks since the king, you know, wasn't talked about.
Right.
It was never talked about again. You know, this character's father is missing, but we don't need to talk about that.
No, we only have adventures on Saturday mornings, okay? That's when we have adventures.
That's the only time.
Yes.
Only time we're allowed to have adventures. Oh my goodness, that's funny. What stuck out to you in this area, though? Because once again, like I said, I might have missed some stuff since it's been a minute since I watched it.
First was that Kevin's like, when they first go into the mirror world, that Kevin's like, let's jump in. 1, 2, 3, go. And I was like, whoa, okay, we're jumping towards possibly a hard surface of a mirror. And you all just agree to just jump right into this mirror. Okay.
Well, if you all jump up building, if everyone else was jumping off a building, would you do it too? That's what it's like.
Exactly. Just
jump into a mirror.
But then the other thing was all the Three Stooges style jokes of the evil versions when they came out. Because while they're talking to the king, the evil versions are talking to their evil king in our world, or the real world, I should say. And Kevin says, ah, a wise dude, eh? Instead of a wise guy. I kind of chuckled at that. The other thing I really liked was Lana's basically the Mo of these Three Stooges. And she goes up to Kevin and presses one of the buttons on his power pad, on his belt buckle, and just launches him in the air. And I was like, I actually really like that joke. Because is that really what would happen? Like, I'd like to see a bad guy actually do that to the real Kevin, because that's pretty funny.
I feel like our best friend Jeffrey Scott, writer of these episodes, please come on the show, Jeffrey. We love you. I feel like he was a big Three Stooges fan, based off, because this is like the second or third time they've made pretty direct references to Three Stooges. Because what was it in the one episode where I forget what exactly they said. It was, I forget which episode it was. Hold on, I can look it up real quick. But it was either Nightmare on Brain Street or possibly like Wishful. I think it was Wishful Thinking, the one with the genie, where they say something like Kid Icarus makes a wish, and like Mother Brain and Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo get turned into like the Three Stooges. I forget exactly.
Oh, that's right.
They, and yeah, it was a really random like throwaway reference to the Three Stooges, and I feel like this is very much like that, but not quite as direct as what was in Wishful Thinking. God, I can't believe this show. Why do I remember that? Like, it's been, that was episode 6, Dexter. That was episode 6. So even if this came out on the monthly schedule of March, that means that one, that episode came out in October, and we probably recorded it in September or August. So I still remember it. Like, yes. That actually was the first episode we did with Stefan Reese from Art and Nintendo Power. Shout out to our buddy Stefan, friend of the show.
That's why you remember it.
Yeah, it was our first time we've had a guest for these episodes. This year, the entire month of April is sponsored by Geek Guild. Geek Guild is an online store that will soothe your nostalgic soul. From video games to vinyl and action figures, Geek Guild has something for everyone. If you're a 90s kid like me and you love and miss old school Nickelodeon and, of course, that classic Nick slime, Geek Guild is currently selling the Slime Stand, a universal gaming controller stand that looks like it was something straight out of 90s Nickelodeon back in the day. So go head on over to geekguild.com and check out all that they have to offer. All right, so they're trying to brainstorm how to get back to Videoland, and Kevin says, "Well, don't worry, you know, Mega Man and Kid Icarus are still at the Palace of Power, so they should be able to take care of things." And then what happens is the doppelgangers come up. They're once, of course, tricked by the doppelgangers because they, you know, they, as far as they're aware, it's Kevin and Lana, and they found the king and all that good stuff. And this is where the featured song, you know, the licensed song they can't fit in to the show, or they can't get the rights for, at least. And understandably, because a lot of these songs are like really big songs, with the exception of, there was none in Simon the Ape Man last week, or I guess it was almost 2 months, not last week, almost 2 months ago now at the time this episode comes out. But the last one that I would say was really like a lot of money would have been White Wedding, which from Mr. and Mrs. Mother Brain, the one where Simon falls in love with Mother Brain. This one, however, is also another Billy Idol song, Generation X, Dancing with Myself, and is used in this show. And it's all for when the doppelganger end team brings all their friends and has like a crazy party, like all the time. And like all the stuff they do is just the most batshit nonsensical rubbish I've ever seen, where, you know, Kevin would be like, "Hey Simon, you want he says some food, I can't remember.
Do you want a turkey sandwich?
Do you want a turkey sandwich?" And then he just starts shooting up everything on the dinner table. I'm like, what the fuck?
And somehow it turns into a sandwich. It like lands on a plate as a sandwich. It destroys everything else though.
That's pretty impressive then, if he can do that. I'm not gonna lie. You know, collateral damage be damned. It made a sandwich, you know.
But do you remember what Simon eats instead of the turkey sandwich after he?
No, like, I don't.
Oh my God. I wrote down Ozzy Osbourne, question mark.
Does he eat a bat?
Because he's like, "I don't want a turkey sandwich. I want a BLT, a bat, lettuce, and tomato."
That might be the audio clip.
Yeah. He sticks a live bat on the sandwich. And of course, the bat's like, "Ah!" It flies away and he goes, "I guess this meal's to go." And I'm like, "Why are you laughing? Your lunch just left."
And he just looks like, all once again, the whole opposite thing is played off in the most bizarre way, because they're a bizarre combination of zany, evil, and just like fucked up. Yeah. I don't understand these evil sides of the characters, and I kind of like that. They're very Joker-esque, and like they just like chaos.
Yes, my notes say mirror logic. Mark.
I guess so. I don't know. I'm trying to see here. My handwriting is really awful. And I wrote, Simon is really dumb. His face was terrifying. So he must have made a creepy face when he first met the king. That was back when he met the king. Simon, hold on. Simon Horn sounds like a didgeridoo. That's something I've ever. So when he finds the Mirror World entrance, he blows a horn that just kind of comes out of nowhere and it sounds like a didgeridoo. And I don't remember where this is at, but I guess the portal that they use to either get there or something. I wrote it down. It just looks like a butthole.
Is it the garbage warp that he uses?
Maybe. I don't remember this. This is now the second episode. Because didn't I make that same comment in episode 10?
Yes.
Didn't something else look like a butthole?
Yes. I'm pretty sure there was a butthole warp in episode 10 as well.
This show, man. This show. Let me just see. Evil Kevin, I wrote, looks drunk. Here we go. Bat, lettuce, and tomato. I wrote that down too. When the good guys, the non-doppelgangers, are in Mirror World and Simon's trying to make something for the king, he offers to make the king breakfast, and he asks his king, how do you like your eggs? And I think he said poached. The king said poached. And then Simon falls and he face plants in the eggs, and the king laughs and says, I guess I'll take them scrambled or something, you know, just a throwaway joke. But something I've noticed on this show has been happening a lot. Simon ends up with white stuff on his face a lot. Constantly. He got squirted in the face with milk straight out of a teat, straight out of a cow's teat. All right. He ends up with stuff on his face way too often, and I really wonder what the animators are trying to tell us.
Yeah, or Sir Jeffrey Scott.
Well, did he write that, or what? Like, so here's the thing. You know what? We could ask Gabe, maybe, because the way cartoons are written are all very different. A lot of times, cartoons are written more like they come up with all the gags first and then they write the story around the gags.
It's possible that it was the storyboard artist taking Jeffrey Scott's script and then that going to the animation.
Because that's the thing. It doesn't have to be in the script. They could have just added that into it because they thought it'd be funny.
They needed filler or something too.
I guess so. Let me see what else I have written.
Especially with the milk one where they just keeps getting squirted in the face. It's like 3 or 4 times.
It's really uncomfortable. Yeah. So as the episode progresses on, Kevin comes up with the genius idea of saying, well, if Lana was able to get spoken to by the king, by the evil king through a mirror, maybe we could contact Mega Man and Kid Icarus using a mirror as well, which doesn't make any sense because the evil king was on the Videoland side,
right,
and just talking into a mirror. Like, he just had a magic mirror. Like, that's all it was. He wasn't in Mirror World when he contacted Princess Lana. He would have theoretically already been out of Mirror World because then he has to trick them to go in,
right? And the good king said that he didn't contact Lana because he didn't want her to end up in the Mirror World where he was.
So really what this section of the episode posits is that all mirrors are interconnected through the Mirror World. And therefore, if you speak into a mirror in the Mirror World, you just have to think of a person and you'll talk to them through a mirror and hope that they're nearby.
Yeah, hope that they're near a mirror.
Does it go to the nearest mirror that this person that you're wanting to contact is at? I imagine this is very easy to get wrong number, to dial wrong numbers. And you just end up, you know, like, in somebody's bedroom and in an awkward position.
We need Jeffrey Scott to have a Twitter account so that he can answer like JK Rowling style questions of like, you know, she just like answers questions, random questions on Twitter and really shouldn't. Jeffrey Scott should be doing that instead. Like, how do the mirrors work, Sir Jeffrey Scott?
I told you I tried contacting him, right?
Yeah.
I did try contacting him and he did not respond. He does. He has a book though, where it's How to Write for Animation.
Hey.
So there you go. He, 3-time Emmy award-winning writer for dozens of hit series, including Super Friends, Spider-Man, TMNT, Jim Henson's Muppet Babies, and he wrote for the PBS smash hit Dragon Tales.
Ooh.
Dude has written a lot of stuff. Like, this guy has, like, I find it really interesting how much he has written, considering some of the stuff he's been forced to write. You know what I mean? His most recent credit, he did 40 episodes of a show called Montana in the Odd Galaxy, which was, it looks very much, I don't know if it looks like it would be a Cartoon Network type of show. I don't know, though. But it's rated for TV youth. So, and it looks like only 5 minute episodes too. It might be for little kids. He wrote a TV series called Thomas Edison's Secret Lab. Here's the description. Everybody knows that Thomas Edison is one of the most prolific inventors in recorded history. But what you didn't know is that he invented a virtual version of himself. Edison created a nearly complete robot, Von Bolt, who remained in a secret lab for years until 12-year-old science prodigy Angie found the lab after cracking the inventor's secret message. After discovering the lab, Angie and her friends explore the scientific world with the fun-loving ghost of Edison as their guide. That sounds wild, dude.
It sounds like a very complicated premise.
It's rated... It's got a 6.5 out of 10 out of 51 ratings on IMDb. So
it's better than a 6.
Better. I like that. It's better than a 6. Well, yes, you're not wrong there.
Very technically.
He did the screenplay for the Dragon Age animated movie. I didn't know there was a Dragon Age animated movie.
I didn't either.
It was called Dragon Age Dawn of the Seeker. It came out in 2012, and it's not rated very well, but he wrote the screenplay for it. But yeah, so he did Dragon Tales. He's done a lot. The Wacky World of Tex Avery from 97 to 98.
Ooh.
That's actually kind of interesting. Animation fans all. He wrote some of the Mega Man TV, like cartoon series. He wrote some of the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. It's not the Sad Am one. It's the
the Looney Tunes style one.
The Looney Tunes style one. He wrote one episode, and I'm not saying he wrote all of the episodes, mind you. He wrote this is just stuff he has written on. He wrote, there's a James Bond Jr. cartoon.
Yes.
What?
But he's his nephew.
Now, what's funny is the creators of this are Michael G. Wilson, who is the producer of the Bond movies, one of the main producers, along with Barbara Broccoli. And the other creator is Andy Hayward, who also worked on Captain N. We're bringing it all back.
Wow, full circle.
Went down a rabbit hole and we brought it all back. So Kevin contacts Mega Man and Kid Icarus and tells them how to, you know, you got to bring, like, those aren't us. Those are the doppelgangers. You got to bring them to the mirror world, tells them where the entrance is at, and then we'll make the swap from there. And that's how everything kind of comes back together. And in the midst of the transition of them trying to push, you know, force the doppelgangers back into mirror world and the good guys back into video land. But remember, Kid Icarus and Mega Man are still in video land. So their evil doppelgangers are on the other side with the good guys in mirror world. So now there's like this fight happening of them trying to get to the other side. And of course it's not really much of a fight at all. I'm pretty sure they like take both of them out. I don't remember. Do you remember? Did they take them both out so they couldn't cross over?
So what happened was, first of all, I would like to point out an animation error. This was something that always stuck out to me when I would watch Ninja Turtles as a kid, when they would animate the wrong turtle to the voice clip. Something like that happened, and I didn't notice it until this time I watched it, this time right before recording. When Kid Icarus, which they call the evil Kid Icarus Kid Ludicrous, and I really liked that. But
I remember that. I thought that was good too.
But when Kid Icarus and Mega Man are like, okay, so we have to get them to the mirror. First, they open up this very dangerous warp to the garbage zone, which is just this giant
garbage zone. Sorry.
And it sucks all of the bad guys, except for the doppelgangers, into a garbage realm. But Kid Icarus takes out his bow. And I think what's supposed to happen is Mega Man's supposed to say, hey, drop your bow, because Mega Man ends up shooting it. But there's a sound clip of the King going, drop your bow. And
instead of Mega Man?
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe the context was confused when they sent it to the animators, because mm-hmm. he might have been saying, like, hey, drop your weapon kind of thing, and it was like, okay, and drops it to Mega Man, and Mega Man shoots it. Maybe that's what happened, but it was just really confusing why the King said it, but they don't show the King, and he drops it to Mega Man. I don't know, it was weird, but Mega Man shoots the bow and captures the doppelgangers. They bring him to the mirror. That's when they show the evil versions of Kid Icarus and Mega Man having a plot of their own. But before they can trick the good Kid Icarus and Mega Man, Simon uses his whip, I think, to pull them away from the mirror.
I think so, yeah.
I think that's what it is, because Kevin yells to good Kid Icarus, use your elastic arrow.
Once again, just making up shit. Like, yeah. Oh, you have an elastic arrow. Why wouldn't you?
Yes, and that's why Kid Icarus is like, why didn't I think of that? It's like, because we just made it up. It basically...
Plot convenience, that's why.
It makes like a big slingshot to push the bad doppelgangers through the mirror, and they have to mm-hmm. time it. But then bad Princess Lana grabs the rainbow and pulls herself out of the elastic.
Of course,
good Princess Lana trips and falls. Very convenient.
Well, it's like those. I wonder if there is, because it's a mirror thing. I wonder, like, it really posits, like, it does everything that the other person does get mirrored on the other in the other world? Like, why else would they all conveniently be there at the right time?
Yes, we're thinking about it more than Sir Jeffrey Scott.
Please come on the show, Jeffrey.
I put in my notes, kind of cool if it made sense.
Yeah. I like, once again, this is no, what Jeffrey, if you are listening to this, this is never any shade thrown at you. We understand, like, some things, as especially when you're, I don't know how far into your career you were at this time. Let's see. How far was he into his... he was actually pretty well into his career, because he had already written Super Friends and a lot of Super Friends. He wrote some episodes of Dynomutt, the Wonder and Dog.
Blue Falcon.
He wrote All New Super Friends Hour, Challenge of the... These are all different cartoons. All New Super Friends Hour, Challenge of the Super Friends, World's Greatest Super Friends. He wrote Spider-Woman. He wrote 15 episodes of Spider-Woman. Nice. He wrote a show called Plastic Man, which I had never...
Plastic Man? I didn't know he wrote Plastic Man. I love Plastic Man.
I'm not going to say he wrote everything, but he wrote for Plastic Man.
That makes sense.
Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels.
Nice.
The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo. He did one episode of that.
Oh my gosh.
Thundar the Barbarian. He did he wrote the story for one episode. He worked on the Spider-Man cartoon, 5 episodes of that. So he worked on, like, I'm not going to read everything. He wrote more Super Friends. Like, just he did some of the Pac-Man cartoon. He did the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon. Oh my God. Please come on, Jeffrey Scott. We love you.
Also, writing for television 30 years ago was a lot different.
Yeah. And what there's certain things. It's like when you're looking for work, like, I don't expect his heart to be in everything for these kids shows. And Captain N specifically, I can't imagine there was a lot of communication between Nintendo and this. Yeah. Like, because this guy, he's a grown ass man having to make a living. He doesn't have time to sit down and play. Like, I barely have time to sit down and play video games, and I make a fucking point to for the podcast. and I like them. Like, there's a whole bunch to it. So it's like, I'm not surprised that some of these episodes are just kind of, they seem like slapdash together. Some of these are really well written, though. Like, I'm not going to deny that. Like, I understand, like, I think some of the voice acting and the animation takes away, but some of these are not awful. And some of the gags that he writes are actually pretty good. No, it's something. It's crazy though. He created the Muppet Babies TV show. He didn't just write for it. He's the creator of it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there we go. So that's amazing.
That explains, that's so cool. That explains why there's a bunch of like Star Wars and Spider-Man stuff that shows up in that show too.
That would make sense. I mean, it's one of the highest rated cartoons ever, 7.4 out of 10, created by Jim Henson and Jeffrey Scott. So there we go.
That's awesome.
Okay, so let's start wrapping this up. We're 50 minutes in and we got to finish up the story. So they're able to force the evil Princess Lana in, and the good king, or what is it? The Princess Lana forces the evil king through to the other side. Or no, what is this?
The evil king takes good Princess Lana in like a hostage position. Yes.
In Mirror World.
So the good king in
video real world, he makes it to the other side, land, takes evil Princess
evil
Lana,
yes, and runs into the mirror with her, but then also like clotheslines the
evil king.
So Lana ends up being the only one who passes through. Good Lana is the only one who passes through cleanly into video land.
Into the real, quote unquote, real world. Right. And good and evil king end up on the same side of the mirror in the evil mirror world, in the reverse mirror world.
And causes the evil mirror to break. Yes.
Evil king's like, "You fool, we can't both be here at the same time." And then the giant mirror just shatters, so they can't leave.
Right.
And they make a hint that like, Princess Lana's like, "How will I ever see you again?" He's like, "Don't worry, Lana, we'll figure out a way someday."
Yeah.
It's very, and then Samurai the episode Jack pretty much ends. Like, there's really not, like, it ends very quickly, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it's very abruptly. There's like a nice shot of the rainbow in the background. It's very beautiful. Like, it's a happy ending. But then they're like, "Oh, we're sad." And then it's like, da, 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 da. It goes to the credits with the happy music. And it's like, "Oh, that was abrupt."
Yeah, it was abrupt and it was pretty sad. Like, I actually felt bad for Lana. So once again, credits to Jeffrey Scott, because I should not have given two shits about this. Because like, why would a character that hasn't been spoken about in 10 episodes, barely 10 episodes, and I'm supposed to care about it? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's silly and it's crazy and it's ridiculous. And that's how that is how the episode ends. I just played it real quick. It goes to it cuts back to the live action Kevin playing video games again. I still want to find a way to get that dude on. I don't know. I've tried to track him down. I've searched for him on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I can't find him anywhere. He's not on the internet, I guess.
I mean, maybe he's single. You should check Tinder and
I know, right? Oh my god, that poor kid. The actor who plays him in the live action, his name is Dorian Barag.
So if anyone knows Dorian, please come on the show.
Seriously, I see I see pictures of him, and I'm trying to see if I can like find a way to like, I see pictures of him, right? So I'm looking up, I'm trying to see if I can find
Dorian. Was that
some
your
way
dog
to contact
that
him
they used for the show?
According to insertpoint.com, his net worth is $12 million.
Wow, did not expect that.
Neither did I.
Really invested that Captain N money.
I don't know if this is actually true or not. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That,
if
that sweet, sweet Captain N cash.
I know that Captain N cash. That's actually really funny. But anyway, so that's the end of it for this episode. It's a weird, weird, strange episode of a character that's like they barely referenced throughout the entire series so far, and all of a sudden he is this focal point of this episode and we're supposed to care about him, but whatever. What are your final thoughts, Dexter? What do you got?
Gosh, this is a hard one. This is going to be a hard one to rank, I think, for me, because it's such a middle of the road kind of episode, in the sense that like It's an interesting episode, but I find it to be talking about it right now makes it sound a lot more interesting than how it felt watching it, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't really that into it while I was watching it, but I also, like, I was interested to know what happened with the King, and obviously being a sitcom style show, we're kind of back to square one at the end, so nothing really happens. But at the same time, I don't know, it's very middle of the road. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't one of my favorites either.
I'm with you on that. I really was kind of bored by it the whole time. I really couldn't remember. Like, I had such a hard time paying attention to this episode. And I'm with you. Like, it wasn't necessarily bad. It just, like, I don't know. There was just not a whole lot to it. And it just, I don't know. It was hard for me to watch just because I got bored with it. Like, it was very hard for me to stay focused and pay attention to it. But other than that, it had some funny moments. I enjoyed bits and pieces of it, but overall, just not my favorite. I actually think Simon the Ape Man from two months ago. Sorry, I keep forgetting there was none in March because of Mario Month. That one I liked a lot more out of our double pack for this one. So that should do it for that's Captain N episode 11, and that will do it for this episode. Dexter, where can the good people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Just search for my name, Dexter Morrill. Last name is Morrill. I'm on there. I'm sharing my own artwork. I'm sharing fun stuff about retro video games. All that jazz. I already had my Kickstarter, which was a success in February. I was part of an anthology comic that got funded. Hooray! And now, as we kind of tipped our hand a little bit in this episode, getting some artwork done for a potential thing for the listeners.
Yes, I'm excited. I can't wait till everyone can see it. As usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me stillloadingcontact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do that in a few ways. Give it a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use. Or you can go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod for $1 a month. If you become a patron for $1 a month, you'll get the episodes a couple days early at a higher bitrate and access to a patron exclusive Discord. For $5 a month, you get all of that plus 2 extra bonus episodes to boot. Now, at the time of this recording, it's early February, so there's going to be at least 3 more of those between now and then. But at the time, I thought this was interesting. And Dexter, I was going to tell you this off mic, but I can use this as a way to promo it on mic. So I do this thing called a retro magazine review on the bonus episodes, where I'll pick like an old video game magazine, and I'll talk about it. Well, this one, I was skimming through it in preparation for recording, and I decided to say, fuck it, and I went with just this. I found an article. This is from, and it was from the Next Generation magazine in 1998. November 98 is when this magazine came out. And it was, according to them, the top most important moments in video game history up until that point, obviously. I thought that was really interesting, so I kind of talked about all of them on the episode. So if you go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod for $5 a month, if you sign up at the $5 level, you'll get that episode, as well as, at this point, there's at least been like 10 or 11 bonus episodes that have come out for patrons on there. As well as, also, I did this thing called 30 Days of Video Games over on Instagram, and I did a podcast audio companion of like these short little 3 to 5 minute snippets that came out daily for 30 days straight, just talking about certain things, you know, like, who is my favorite character? Who is my least favorite character? What's my favorite cutscene in a game? Which game has the best cutscene? Stuff like that. So, yeah, patreon.com/stillloadingpod. But I know I gave a whole spiel about my own shit. The most important thing that to take out of all this is the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care, at hospitals. So go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And yeah, that's all I got. Dexter, thank you so much for joining me for this episode.
Yes, thank you. Blast as always.
And I will see you all next time.